Thank you. Thank you. The challenge of obedience. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to talk to you this morning about the challenge of obedience. And I will say that I have really enjoyed teaching this sermon series. It has been very enriching for me. I've enjoyed it myself. It can be difficult to constantly have a fresh word from the Lord. And sometimes, especially when you're in a church that requires you to have a fresh word three times a week, it can be difficult to come up with something fresh three times a week for 30 to 45 minutes. That's a lot to talk about. And sometimes we do get a little burned out on looking for fresh ideas, and so we'll call in a visiting minister. But this sermon series has really been refreshing. I think of all the sermon series that I've ever done in the past 8 years as your pastor, I have enjoyed this one the most. Every single topic that I take, it challenges me to look at the Bible in a fresh light. And sometimes we need to take a fresh look at what the Bible says. And if you can grab a hold of some of the things that we've shared with you, some of the things that we've shared over the past 5 weeks have been powerful. Powerful. And I believe that we have something powerful to share with you today as well. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Everybody say this with me. Obey.
Obey.
And he went out not knowing whither he went or where he was going to go. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised it. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. How many of you think we need a better country? Yeah, they desired a better country. And that is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that hath received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, for whence also he received him in a figure. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning on the challenge of obedience. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this tremendous move of your spirit and worship service that we've had here today. And we pray that as we preach and communicate the word of God, that your spirit would clearly direct our words and our conversation, and that the words that we speak would stir faith and power in the hearts and lives of the people that are here, and that these would be met. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, the very first thing that hurtled humanity down the slippery slope of sin, the very first thing that got mankind into trouble was disobedience. Adam and Eve, and the Bible says in the book of Genesis that Adam and Eve in the garden, that God said, "You have all of these fruit trees." No doubt there were peach trees and apple trees and banana trees and some pear trees, plum trees. No doubt there were all sorts of tremendous fruit trees there. Incredible tasting fruit, ripe, tree ripened, always ready to eat. An amazing array of harvest to eat. And they were so many fruit trees and so luscious and plentiful that they were able to live on the fruit of those trees all the time. And God told Adam and Eve, "But there's one tree that I don't want you to eat the fruit off of it. You can eat of all the other trees, but this one tree, don't eat the fruit off of it." And what of all the things that God gave them to do, He said to Adam to work in the garden and to take care of it and tend it and do what needs to be done there. And Adam was the overseer of the Garden of Eden. Of all of the things that they were allowed to do, the very one thing that God asked them not to do, they just couldn't, for some reason, refrain themselves from it. And they ate of the tree of what is called the knowledge of good and evil. And they plunged mankind into spiritual darkness. And the curse, the Bible says that when God cursed the woman, He said, "In pain." How many of you have ever seen a cat have babies? Or a dog? Or a cow? Or a patch of goat? Or a sheep? Or a chicken? Do they look like they're in tremendous pain? I'm not experiencing this stuff. I'm asking you a question. Do they look like they're in a lot of pain when they have their babies? How can you tell they're in pain? Do they go, "Woo!" You know what? And the other mother hens are around them going, "Push, push." But I mean, I have never ever heard an animal just scream and cry like women do when they have babies.
They are in pain, but not really a tremendous pain.
Now,
very much.
Now, thank you.
I can help them have baby growth.
And I'm making a point here. Thank you, Brother Patrick, because you helped make my point. The pain that an animal feels in childbirth is dramatically, tremendously less than the pain that a woman feels in childbirth.
That's right.
Do you know why that is like that? Because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And God said to the woman, "In pain shall you conceive. I will increase your pain in childbirth." Is that not what He says? Why? Because she disobeyed. And what does the word disobey mean? I think that you might be surprised to know what the word disobey means. The word disobey is actually one of the root words in the word disobey is faith. Disobedience is actually the opposite of faith. Unbelief and disobedience are essentially the same thing. The Greek word for faith and the Greek word for disobedience, it includes the word that is derived from the Greek word for faith. Disobedience and unbelief are the opposite of belief. Faith is believing. What the word faith means is fully persuaded that I have been talked into this, that I know this is true and I believe it. And we'll find out later that believing is doing. If you say you believe something but you don't do it, what does that really mean? It really means that you don't believe it. And if you say that you don't believe but you go ahead and do, what does that mean? It means that you really do believe it. You can't always tell what a person's at by what they say. Some people say what they mean. And some people speak their minds and it's from their heart. But a lot of people you can't always tell. And so, disobedience that was performed by Adam and Eve in the garden, what that means is God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you are going to die. Now, how many of you are familiar with the story of Adam and Eve in the garden? Amen. If not, you go home and look it up. There's some tremendous spiritual insights. Because all of the temptations and trials and challenges that we face as Christians, every single trial, challenge, temptation, struggle, and every little pothole in the road that we face as Christians is encapsulated in that one little story of Adam and Eve. Every mistake that they made, every tactic that Satan used against them is all encapsulated in that one story. The devil hasn't changed his tactics since. And mankind, that is man and woman, haven't changed their idiocy since. We're just as dumb today as we were when we were in the garden. Just as quick and as ready to throw away everything that God has given us. Why? Because we don't believe. Because we're not persuaded. And what did the devil say to Eve? He said, did God say you're going to die? And she said, yes, God said I'm going to die. And you know the devil said to her, don't you? You're not going to die. Because Satan knew that God was talking about spiritual, but he was also talking about physical. And he said, but God knows if you eat this, then you're going to be just as smart as he is. And so they disobeyed because disobedience is a lack of belief and persuasion that what God says is true. I'm here to tell you something today. What God says is true.
Right.
And if God says this is going to happen, it's going to happen. And if God says these are going to be the consequences of actions, those will be the consequences of actions. And so, mankind gets themselves into trouble when they disobey. And so, the key to our success and the challenge for a Christian is to obey. And in order to obey, we must first have faith in God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith, everybody say, by faith. And faith is persuasion. It is the inward, it is the spiritual persuasion that God puts in our heart. God gets inside of our hearts and he persuades us to do what he says to do. God's persuasion, that's what faith is. It's God's persuasion inside of you where God says, you need to do this. You need to accept me. You need to follow me. And it's an amazing process when it happens. And faith is the crucial link and key to everything that we do and every operation of God. It is done by or through faith. The conduit of activity in the kingdom of God is faith. We have got to be persuaded about something before we do it. Some people are easier to persuade than others. Jesus said, you believe because you've seen the miracles, but blessed are those who do not see the miracles, but they believe me anyhow. Some people are easier to persuade than others. And so faith becomes a crucial link. We are not going to be obedient until there is a spirit of faith that stirs our hearts. And the Bible says that by faith, when Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out not knowing where he was going. The challenge of obedience is to trust God even though you don't know where it's all going to wind up. You got to have a pretty big concept about God to be willing to leave your... If God says to you, get out of Fairfield, get away from the Davis family. Where do you want me to go, Lord? I'll tell you later. Just pack up your stuff, fill the truck up with gas, and go down the road. That's what God told Abraham to do. And we're talking about a pretty major affair here. Can you imagine packing up your stuff? I helped a couple of people move their stuff this past summer. And I was thinking, and I told my wife, because sometimes I want to sell my house because my taxes are high, and I want to find a different place to live. It's a bigger house, more property, and less taxes to pay. And I know that it's possible. I know there's somebody in the church that's got a house that's got 5,000 square feet, and they've got 5 acres of land, and their taxes are almost $800 cheaper than mine. And I've got a big, gigantic 120 by 110 foot lot in a 2,000 square foot house, and I pay $800 more a year in taxes than they do. Now, I know it's possible. But you know what kind of jarred me back to reality? What kind of jarred me back to my senses was when I started helping people move this summer. And I thought, Sister Vicki, oh, Lord, have mercy. I cannot even imagine the nightmare. I helped my brother move, and they got that little itty-bitty house that they had on West Sibley, just a little tiny little house, and we got all their stuff moved. And I was so worried, I thought, oh, I cannot imagine after living where I've been living and all the furniture that I... You know, the half the furniture that I got, I never even moved it myself. Because it was bought and moved in by somebody else. Oh, Lord have mercy. I can't imagine having to move it. There's moving vans all up and down my street because all my neighbors are selling their houses and moving. Because this is the market to sell. And I'm just like, I don't know. I said, I think, I don't know if I told mom, I said, if we move, I would hire somebody to move my stuff.
That means getting old, brother. That's what I mean. I'll drink it, I'm hyper. Or I'll move it. I'm so sorry.
God said to Abraham, pack up your house and go on the road. Take this game on the road and get down the road. You've got to have a big faith in God. You've got to believe in a big and a great big God. You've got to believe in the sovereignty of God and the might of God and the power of God to have enough faith and trust in Him to say, if God says move, I'm going to move. If God says go, I'm going to go. If God says do, I'm going to do. And Abraham packed up his family, packed up his stuff, and he left everything behind, and he didn't even know where he was going. The challenge of obedience. You don't have to know where you're going. You just have to know who your God is. You don't have to know where you're going. You don't have to know how it's all going to work out. The only thing you have to know is that you trust God and God said go. You can tell that faith is suffering in the church nowadays. You can tell that even in the ministries, I watch pastors and young ministers looking for direction from the Lord. I can tell that faith is so much weaker in this generation than it was in bygone generations. You read stories about old-time preachers and ministers, and And I've heard them preach and tell their stories that they would, that God would say, I want you to go to this town on the other side of the United States of America. Take a bus. And they wouldn't even have enough money to buy a bus ticket. And they would go and they would find, and somebody would just find them on the, along the road and give them money. And they would get in a bus and they wouldn't even know where they were going. Not even know what church or pastor that they were going to connect to and get into a certain state. And God would tell them, get off. At times in the middle of nowhere, get off here and pull the bus over and get out, and the bus goes down the road, and there they are with no money, no idea what they're doing there, and just a suitcase with some clothes and their Bible, and somebody come along the road and pick them up and find out that they're connected to this church, and they would go to this church and they would go into weeks and months of revival and miracles and healings, and people would be saved. And I'm not telling you stories. There's books in our church library that tell some of these real stories that happened. The men and the women of God that used to walk through the doors of our church, that used to pray in our altars, that used to shout in our pews, and that used to walk the streets of our cities, were men and women of God who had so much faith in God that He could tell them to leave and not even tell them where they were going, but they would do it. We live in a day and a time where you've got to explain everything. You've got to have all the details worked out. And everybody needs to know just exactly how it's all going to play out before we're willing to step out in faith. How can you tell that people don't have much faith in these last days? It's simple. Because they don't obey God. You've got, if you're going to be an obedient person, if you're going to step out and obey God, if you're going to march forth and do what God says in your life and in this community, in this church, you are going to have some serious faith in your God. I'm here to tell you, it's time that our faith in God steps up a notch. I'm not sure if I want to go there. I'm not sure if I want to do that. I'm not sure if I want to say this or that. And we've made mistakes and we've got ourselves in trouble. And we've got into situations that we thought, well, maybe we didn't really hear from God. How many of you ever stepped out on faith and obeyed what you thought was the voice of the Lord? You got there and you got there and got in the middle of the mess and you thought, oh, I don't know if I heard from the Lord or not. Abraham had faith. He was persuaded that his God knew what he was doing. He was persuaded that his God understood his and what he wanted to accomplish. And he, without question, the Bible says, when God said leave, Abraham immediately packed up his stuff. And what the problem with a lot of folks in church today is they say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. God told me to do something. Well, have you done it yet? No. God told me to do something, but have you done it yet? No. God told me to do this. God told me, have you done it yet? No. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If God says, get out and go, then you got to get up and go when He says to get up and go. Not when we feel like it. Not when all the signs are aligned. Not when all the planets are in the right orbit. Not when it's a convenient season for us. Because the Bible says we need to be instant, in season, out of season. We need to be ready to obey God at any moment. And when our faith in Him is strong as it should be, there'll never be a question in our minds. When God says go, we'll go. Because we trust Him with all of our hearts. Right. And we're not worried about God knowing what He's doing. Because God knows what He's doing. Right. When I think about the sunsets and I look at the planets and I see the changes of the seasons, I'm just incredulous. God knows what He's doing. When I look at the sunrise, When I look at the sunset, and they say that as the planets move around, and as we move around the sun, and we move into our winter season, that the sunset change and they become even more colorful because the Earth's axis and tilt is further away from the sun, requiring light to travel through more atmosphere, forcing more and more and more of the longer light waves in the light visible light spectrum to be reflected and bouncing around in the atmosphere. You ever notice that at noon that the sky is blue? Because there's less air for light to travel through. Only the short waves bounce out, the blue waves. But when the sun sets, it's further away from the earth that has more air to travel through. You look at stuff like that and you got to say this: God knows what He's doing. Look at the human body and all the stuff we throw at it. Look at the human body and all of the junk that we eat. All of the stuff, I mean, just walking into the building this morning, we've got clothes on our body that have been dyed with chemicals, and we're sitting on pews that have been dyed with chemicals, and Brother Davis has his elbow on varnish and stain that has no telling what kind of poisonous, toxic chemicals are absorbing through his elbow right now, and we get in our cars, and they're full of pleather and vinyl and all sorts of toxic substances and the carpets and the air we breathe is full of volatile organic compounds, and we eat all sorts of processed foods and we put all kinds of oils and fats and junk and some are smoking and others are drinking, and we are abusing our body with all sorts of substances and bad lifestyle habits, and this old body keeps on ticking, keeps on walking, keeps on living, keeps on breathing, and you're thinking, man, how much can the body take? When you look at the human body and you see how unbelievably complex it all works together, all you have to do is stub your toe to understand how complex the body is. All you have to do is stub your toe at night when you're walking down the hallway or step on a kid's toy or stub your toe on the corner of the doorway to understand how closely related every part of your body is. All you have to do is stub that little toe. Boom. Oh! And your breath is taken away and you're stopped dead in your tracks and all of your focus. The body is an amazing piece of God's creation. When you look at that complexity and the amazing intelligence that went into creating the human body, you've got to come away from that and say, God knows what He's doing. You've got to come away from that and say, God is a lot smarter than I am. God is an incredible and amazing God to be able to take dust of the earth and create this right here. This with eyeballs in it that have nerve endings, and I can see and I can understand and comprehend with my mind, and I can just send an electrical impulse that my body is run by bioelectrical impulses, that chemicals with negative and positive charges run up and down my little the axons of my neurons, and they go through little ion channels, and that axon is covered with oil that helps to conduct the electricity, and all I have to do is think a thought and immediately I'm doing. You got to understand, folks, God knows what He's doing. We are an amazing and complex creature created by the hand of the living, sovereign, eternal God. And then God takes what he made out of the dust and He breathed into it the breath of life, and oxygen filled the blood vessels of our body, and we became a living creation. And ever since God created Adam and Eve, mankind, for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and billions of people later, God's creation of two human beings is still carrying on. God knows what He's doing. And if He tells you to get up and go, if He tells you to obey me because I'm going to take you places, you can take it to the bank. You don't have to worry about the check bouncing. You don't have to worry about God's plan today. And you can have faith that if God tells you to do something, it's okay for you to obey Him and to do it. Praise God. It's easy. You know, it really is not that hard. How hard is it really to obey God? I know I got a little lengthy with the illustration there, but sometimes we just don't use our brains, folks. Sometimes we just don't stop long enough to think about things. Sometimes we just don't stop long enough to comprehend how unbelievable the scientists tell us, oh yeah, we had a box of rocks right here, and we took this box of rocks and we turned it upside, we shook it up real good, we turned it upside down on the ground, it fell all over the place, and when it fell out, planets were created. I was talking to the youth class some time ago, and they had conversational hearts. It was last around Valentine's. They had conversational hearts, and I said, and I was trying to explain to them how awesome God is and how stupid humans are and scientists are. And I said, what you're telling me, what scientists teach you, is I can take this box of conversational hearts and shake it up and turn it upside down, and when it hits the floor, it's going to spell my name, Robert. You should have seen them. They were like, really? No way. And so I shook it up, you know, and you could, they were just like, and then I poured them out on the ground, and of course they went everywhere, and they were like, they just knew it was going to spell Robert. I don't think they ever got it, Brother Davis. You can't take a box of conversation hearts and throw them on the ground and then dispel anything that you want to. That just doesn't happen. You don't just have a all of a sudden out of the middle of nothing and nowhere that all of this just comes into existence. Oh, do you believe in the Big Bang Theory? I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe that God opened His mouth and said, bang, bang, and all of creation was created. Yeah, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. Yeah. We're amoebas that crawled out of a cesspool of sludge and got feet on us. And some of you are descended from monkeys. God bless you. No wonder some of you go ape when things don't go right in your lives. You did. Sometimes you act like a monkey. I'm telling you. No, we're not descended from some kind of a sludge cesspool. No, we're not descended from monkeys. Not the last time I checked, anyway. We were created by the sovereign living God out of nothing. God called into existence earth and sea and land and air and atmosphere. Out of nothing, God called into existence light and darkness and stars and planets and grass and trees and fish and birds and human beings. God, out of nothing, called all these things into existence. You can believe and take what He says to the bank. It's easy to believe. There are some things that are easier to believe than others. And let me get to the point of the challenge of obedience. It's easy to, Jesus comes and He says, you need to believe in Me as your Savior, and then I will remove all your sins, and I will give you eternal life and give you a promise of heaven. Brother Lowell, does that sound like a hard exchange? Brother Lowell, I'm going to take all your mistakes, and I'm going to give you My righteousness, and I'm going to promise you a place in heaven for eternity. Sounds pretty good, Debbie. That sounds pretty good, don't you? You can take that to Walmart. You can't get that at Walmart. Come on now. It's not hard to believe God for that, is it? God said to Abraham, get out of your land. Get out of your country. And leave your family. And I am going to give you your own country and nation to possess. It wasn't really, when you think about it, it wasn't that hard for Abraham to follow God. Tell you what I'm going to do, Abraham. If you get out of your country and follow Me, I'm going to make you so rich, and I'm going to make you so wealthy, and I'm going to take you to a place that's going to be a humongous country, and this little place that you're living, I'm going to give you a bigger place. That wasn't too hard, was it? Abraham said to his servants, get her done. We're moving on up. See you later, man. We're moving on up. God has given us a new country. That's not a bad deal. So, Brother Manny Pappas, I'm going to take you out of Fairfield, and I'm going to take you out of the United States of America, and I'm going to give you a country that is yet belong. I'm going to give you a whole entire country of your own. and you're going to be so wealthy. That wasn't too hard. Abraham said, sounds like a good deal to me. Let's go. I want to save you from your sins. I want to erase your past. I want to forget about all your mistakes, and I want to give you a new life, and I want to give you my spirit, and I want to give you the hope of eternity. Sounds like a good deal. Let's go. You know how easy it is to get people saved? It ain't hard to get people saved. It's not a bad trade-off at all. And on down the road, God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son in your old age. And I tell you what I'm going to do with this boy. I am going to let his descendants that come out of his loins are going to become so many numerous people that I'm going to make your son a great nation. And I'm going to, through him, I'm going to make your descendants like the stars in heaven, like the sand of the sea. What did Abraham have to lose? Jesus comes in and he's raising dead people and he's healing blind eyes and he's lifting people up that are crippled and casting out devils, and Jesus is multiplying loaves and fishes, and he's doing all these amazing things, and disciples are casting their nets when they hadn't caught any fish all night and filling up their nets so much that they're breaking. It's not hard to follow Jesus when he's throwing out some kind of amazing promises like that. Sure. It's not much of a challenge to obey God when he's promising miracles, signs and wonders. It's not hard to obey God when he says, hey, I'm gonna give you a child. I'm going to give you descendants in your old age. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to do amazing things. And Abraham just kept believing God. He kept obeying God. He kept believing in God. He kept being persuaded that what God said was going to come to pass. He kept on going because God, I mean, you got to say God was making it pretty easy for him. But it come down to a place in Abraham's life where God says, I'm going to test you in a way that I've never tested you before. I'm going to challenge you in a way that I've never challenged you before. I'm going to persuade you about something that I've never persuaded you. You know what? I'm not even going to persuade you. I'm going to ask you to do something that has no apparent return value. I'm going to ask you to do something that is going to appear to you to be a total defeat of all purposes of your whole life. And the Bible says he asked Abraham to sacrifice or kill his own son. That was it. God said, Abraham, I want you to take your only son, Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Somebody say, faith and obedience has its limitations. But the Bible says, you know what Abraham did when God told him that? We don't hear no conversation going on. There ain't no prayer meetings. There ain't no fasting. There ain't no counselors involved. He doesn't call any of his friends. He doesn't even ask his wife's permission. The Bible says God told him to take his son and sacrifice him. The Bible says Abraham saddled up the donkey, loaded up the wood, bagged up a coal to start the fire with, and packed up his son and left to go do what God said to do. The challenge of obedience is to keep obeying God by faith when there is no apparent reward to be gained. To continue obeying God by faith when there is no apparent benefit that will immediately come to us. To continue obeying God when everything seems like it's going the wrong way. to obey God when it seems like God doesn't know what he's doing. To obey God when it seems like that he has lost God, I'm talking about, has lost his marbles. The Bible says Abraham saddled up the ass and got his servants and his son together, and they went on their journey. And he took him up to the mountain that God told him to sacrifice his son on. And his son said to him, Isaac said, Father, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? He said, God will provide a sacrifice. What was Abraham's plan? Abraham's plan was to obey God. And he marched him up the mountain, arranged the rocks, laid the wood, tied his son up, and laid him on the wood, and he raised his dagger over his head to slit his son's throat. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord called out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, hold on a minute. Now I know that you love me. Now I know that you trust me. Now I know that you're not just following me for the loaves and the fishes. Now I know that you're not just following me for the miracles and what I can do for you. Now I know that you're following me because you love me, because it is in your heart to do so. Now I know the real reason why you're following me. Now I can trust you. And the Bible says at that moment when he was willing to sacrifice his son, when he was willing to obey God in the face of every insensibility, when he was willing to obey God, when what God was asking him to do was so hard and there were no benefits to return to him, that is when God imputed his faith unto him as a righteousness. That is the challenge of obedience today. It's not hard to believe in a sovereign God that has thrown and stroked the planets out in their place. It's not hard to believe in God when there's a beautiful sunrise and sunset. It's not hard to believe in God when we're eating the fruit of the vine and trees and reaping the harvest and the crop. It's not hard to believe in God when he forgives you of your sins and fills you with the gift of his Holy Spirit and endears you and causes you to understand your future destiny of heaven. It's not hard to believe in God with miracles and when God heals you and when he's moving in your life in such tremendous and awesome ways. But the true challenge of obedience is when you get to a place where God wants to see what your faith and your love for him is really made out of. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little convicted in this message this morning. Are you feeling a little convicted in this message this morning? Why don't we stand together? I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little convicted. I'm thinking back on a few times the Lord said, do this and do that, and I didn't do it. Catherine, you're in our church this morning because Brother Philip obeyed God. Brother Philip will tell you the story that he was driving down the road and God had some interaction. I don't know how the connection was there. And they had met John and Kathy and Jesse, and the Lord told Brother Philip, go see these people now. And he turned that truck around and went to their house and witnessed to them. And as a result, they started coming to church. And I noticed that you're not sitting on the pew by yourself today. It says in the Bible, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. When we are not persuaded that God is going to work out the details, and we rebel and disobey and disbelieve him, we cause a chain reaction of negative events in our life in the lives of all the people that we're related to and connected to. But when we are persuaded that God has got it all under control and we obey Him by faith, we set in motion a chain reaction of events that is going to benefit many, many people and lives. You know what God said? You know what? You know how His promises just kept expanding to Abraham, expanding, expanding, expanding. And the very last promise that God made to Abraham, He said, not only am I going to make you wealthy, not only am I going to give you a country and a nation, not only am I going to give you a son and innumerable descendants, but then He said, because you have obeyed Me, because you have not withheld your only son, I am going to cause all of the nations of the earth to be blessed in you. And whoever blesses you, I will bless. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed in you, Abraham, because you obeyed Me by faith. I'm here to tell you today, folks, that it may not make a lot of sense, and it may seem to us a hard thing sometimes what God asks of us. But if we... well, I've got enough faith in the bigness of God, and we've got enough faith and trust in Him. If you'll step out and obey Him, not only is it going to benefit you, not only is it going to benefit your children, not only is it going to benefit your family, not only is it going to benefit your business and your job and your life and your health, but it will benefit people that you don't even know yet. Hallelujah. Let's take a few moments and talk to God and pray together right now. God, I don't want to just have a little blessing to keep to myself. I don't want to have a low level of obedience to just do the things that I know are going to make sense to my physical well-being. God, I want to obey You and have faith in You for things that don't make any sense to me. God, so that the blessing that You have on my life would not just be encapsulated with me and mine and us and ours, but that the blessing upon me through You, O God, would extend to people that I haven't even met yet. Friends that I haven't even made yet. Lives that have never even been touched by You can be blessed by me. If I could just let my faith grow bigger so that I can be persuaded to obey You for bigger things. We had a missionary Wednesday night at home group. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. God has spoken a word in this church. God has a blessing to pour out in some of your lives that you cannot imagine. God has a blessing to pour out in your lives. And it's not just to make you wealthy or rich. It's not just to make you popular or happy or satisfied. God has a blessing to pour out in your life that you cannot imagine or contain. People's lives and situations that you're going to influence and affect that you could have never imagined possible in ways that you never thought that you were capable. I'm here to tell you that God has a blessing that is beyond your comprehension today. All we need to do is obey Him. I was thinking Wednesday night with our home missionary, our foreign missionary brother, Sister Nix to Nicaragua, Central America. And we haven't been able to take a missionary on as a partner in mission for some time because our missions obligations are maxed out to our giving. And I thought, God, it would be great if I could backtrack and pick up all of those missionaries that I haven't been able to take on. God, you know what, God, it would be awesome if You would provide the financing for us to take on twice as many missionaries as we're taking on right now. Not 20, but 40. Well, it's quiet now, isn't it? Well, we need to keep that money for ourselves. Well, we've got needs and situations here. Let me ask you a question. Our giving used to be $235 a month. Now it's $950 a month. Have we lacked for anything in the past 8 years? Come on now. Have we lacked for anything. This congregation, this building is prettier than it's ever been in its 40-year history. We got a brand new heating and air conditioning unit sitting in there, $6,000. We've got pushing $40,000 sitting in the bank today, waiting to build a new church. Have we lacked for anything, and yet we're giving more than we've ever given before? Now, I'm not talking about missions today. I'm just saying that sometimes we minimize and we limit what God wants to do because we just don't believe Him to be able to do better. I'm here to tell you that God can do better if you can do better. How many of you want to do better in your obedience to the Lord? God says go, you go. God says give it, you give it. If God says it's going to happen, you believe it. He was looking for a better country. How many of you are looking for something better? No, I'm looking for something better. I'm hungry for it today. If you're hungry for it, why don't you just lift your hands right now and just say, just ask God to, the song that we sing, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, and just to know that You are with me, just to know that the Lord has said this is the way it's going to be. Oh God, let me trust You more. Jesus. Let's sing that together. Jesus.